We have two readings from the Gospel of John this morning. The first is from John 3, verses 1 to 8. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And then from John 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Thank the Lord for his word to us this morning. And I pray that we can find in these words the things that God wants to impress on our hearts now, today. So I want to begin by saying that I think the hallmark of the church is not being right. It's not about being certain. A true hallmark of the church is that we are open to the Spirit of Christ. Now have a think about that for a moment. See if you feel that that is what the church truly looks like and feels like to you. Our calling and our identity are so much greater, I think, than we first imagine. We're not called to be right. As a Franciscan writer once said, "Why do we think we can have the infinite knowledge of the mystery of God in our very finite pockets?" Isn't that what church looks like sometimes? No. We're called, all of us, to live in the free flow of God's will. We are to live in his story. That wind that blows through time wherever it wishes. We, like the lame and the broken in the gospel, are called to get up and walk. Get up and walk. To leap and dance for joy. To sing the praises of our God in all that we do. Because Jesus is Lord and he has given us his Spirit. And you know, Jesus is the voice of our singing. Our story stands in the stream of stories that pour down to us throughout the scriptures. But truly, it is one story, God's story. So ponder this, if you will. You, each of you, have been sent. You have been sent to live in the flow of grace and love, which is the Spirit of God. And above all, according to Jesus, we have been sent to offer forgiveness. The church's primary calling, it seems, from the risen Christ that night, that day, was to offer forgiveness. I am sending you, Jesus says. I am sending you. I am is sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive my Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. But if you withhold that forgiveness, if you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven." Hold that, please. We, his children, no longer need things as they have always been. We no longer need to be in control. We no longer need business as usual. What the church needs is to be blown on the wind of God's will. Churches of all shapes and sizes, denominations, wherever they are, need to be blown on the wind of God's will, to run risks for justice, to run risks for forgiveness, to run risks for true hospitality, to run risks of outrageous generosity, and to run risks for undeserved love. To run risks for the truth and not our own distorted truth. The truth of Jesus Christ, according to the gospel, in the face of a disbelieving world. The intention of God is that you know who you are, church. In the breathtaking light of this gospel that we believe in. You know, sometimes when I hear us sing, I hear something changing somehow. Singing somehow gives voice to something deeper within us, which we believe, we trust, but we can't quite let be true. We can't quite let ourselves go that we might be carried on that wind. But the truth is, we are called to be a community of truly holy people, not goody-goody cliches. Not even Christian cliches, of which there are many. They're prevalent and sometimes very, very misleading. Not to be tied to the patterns and the traditions even of the past. Not bound up by having to be right about everything and know everything. But a people who look like the God that we believe in. A people who look like the God that has come to them by his Spirit in Jesus Christ. Beyond all of the labels, and it's difficult to get beyond them. Our heads are stuffed full of them. But we have to get beyond all of the labels, all of the titles, all of the cliches, the prejudices, the traditions of the religion that we have created in our image. We are called, and this cannot be overstated, it cannot be said enough, that we, his church, are called to look and live like Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is life. And you know what? Over the last couple of weeks, I've had the privilege of inviting Year 7 from Trafalgar to come and sit in this church to be here. And I've got a few more coming on Monday and next Friday as well. And I've been able to tell them, with my hand on my heart, that this church tries day by day to look like Jesus. They understand that. They understand that. Because it's all about love. It's all about sharing. It's all about serving. It's all about giving. And you know what, church? As you walk around this church, we see evidence of all of those things day by day. And I thank you for that with all my heart. We know there is more to do. But Christ is so evidently at work in you. Trust it. Be blown on the wind of it. Hold nothing back. It changes your life and the lives of everyone around us. The sad fact is that often the church has got very lost. This people, all of us across the world, who are charged with forgiveness, reconciliation, and a message of good news, is torn, divided amongst ourselves. It seems beyond us, doesn't it, to sort ourselves out and to focus on what Jesus says really matters. And today, I believe we are watching as clay pots are being broken. It's just as Jeremiah imagined Jerusalem would be broken, smashed for going its own way, for becoming irrelevant, for becoming self-preoccupied, self-righteous, always right about everything, being too comfortable with privilege and easy, lazy morality, thinking that it knows and that others therefore obviously must be wrong. Friends, I believe the pots are being smashed. And perhaps they are being smashed so that Jesus can pour out at last. His generosity, his forgiveness, his hospitality and justice. As the pots are smashed, they can break out into the world for healing and newness. I truly hope so. We face hard decisions. We have bought into this world as individuals, as a church. We live out of the ways of this world. And we want Jesus our way so that he looks like us. But we also know down deep that that is not the truth. When we are blown by the Spirit of the one true, infinite and mysterious God, we are truly free. And then holiness erupts and overflows. Holiness transforms and makes new. Holiness heaps mercy upon mercy upon mercy. Forgiveness pours out like a mighty river. We do not belong to the world's powers and systems. That is not who we are. We belong to Christ. And we must not be talked out of or persuaded or shamed or embarrassed out of our identity. You are God's beloved children. And you are called to live out of that truth. Not just amongst ourselves, pleasing ourselves, agreeing with ourselves, as if that was all that mattered. Us with all the right labels, but as God's true people in the world. Blown not by rules and dogmas and doctrines, but just by the Spirit of love. We have our agenda. We have been given our agenda. It has been set clearly by Jesus. So when you ask, what is my calling? He has told you what your calling is, friends. It will look different for each of you, and you will find there are particular things that you need to do. But you have been told what your calling is. You're to love. You're to love with all that you have, with all of your strength, with all that you have been given. You have been called to love. And that love looks like forgiveness. The church is not a voluntary association of people who happen to agree with each other's view of the world. No, the church actually is not your idea at all. It's God's. God calls us together for his mission, not ours. We are bound together because God calls us together. Not just as nice, like-minded people. Now, this is important. Because if that is true, and that we truly wish with all our hearts to follow the Spirit of God, to know God's will as Jesus prayed, that his will would be done in our lives, we should expect, friends, that we will respond to God's call. Yes? Even if it doesn't suit us. And there's the catch. Church is very good at following God's will when it suits it. When it looks like success and power. When it looks like winning. When it looks like being right. Then we're right there with God's will, aren't we? No. The truth is God's mission, almost inevitably, because we are caught up in the patterns of the world, is in tension with our preferences and our vested interests. Of course it is. Maybe in quite concrete physical ways, our budgets, our ideas, our programs, our preferences. We must always be asking about the Spirit's call that very likely does not suit our own agendas. Check your scriptures, friends, I invite you. With very few exceptions, who wants what God calls them to do? Who wants to do what God has asked them to do? You'll find very few. Thinking of Mary off the top of my head, but there are very few. The people that do what God wants them to do and not what they want to do is the hallmark of God's people, God's church. We are to be like Jesus, full of healing power, restoring people day by day, living according to God's will and not our own. That is us. That is why we have been brought together. That is who we are. And what Jesus intends is that the church should share in the suffering, his suffering for the world. Because his way is dancing to a different tune. His way goes against the grain. His way causes trouble every day. Because it is the truth in a world of lies. The good news, the gospel, is that God is at work and we are being transformed, being called, being spoken to, being cared for, being suffered over by the very power of God himself. It's good news. And we need to decide whether we will continue to be an echo chamber for the fears that surround us, or whether we truly, with all our hearts, strength, souls, minds, will take the other narrow road. We have good news to share, and we are called to bear witness to the truth, to give testimony by act and by speech and by policy and by budgets and by covenant and by prayer in all that we do. Testimony that Jesus truly is the Lord of the life, that this truly is the table of the King, and that his way is open to life, is open to forgiveness for all. Will the church put its life where our mouths are? Friends, either we are who Jesus says we are, either Jesus is truly Lord and we are safe and free to live and love in the light of the Spirit, or he is not Lord, and we must continue to live in fear. The story of the gospel, indeed of all scripture, is the story of God's work of finding and naming and sending you. A small community as an antidote to the sickness of the world. It's not easy. It never was. It never has been. And perhaps that's why the church sometimes looks the way it is. You will find it difficult to find anyone in the Bible who found God's call comfortable. Nonetheless, it is the truth, it is the way, and it is the only road to life. We are called to remember from beginning to end who God is and who we are, and then to live, to let go, and to be blown on the Spirit of God's will. Amen.